matter. What did I say last time? I said, I get started on these things, and I never know actually how to start them. Terrible. Like, starting off with the introductory voice and all that crap. I'm like, that sounds stupid. Just be yourself. Okay. So, I am Danny. This is Terminal CWO. And for a lot of you, this may be your first time listening because yeah, you just heard about me. I heard there was a big flux of people that just found out about the handle, what we're doing over here. So welcome. Hopefully my dog's loud breathing, no, she's not snoring, but her loud breathing is not too distracting. So yeah, should be able to clean that up with some good volume editing. So a few topics we're going to talk about. By the way, I also noticed that I say so a lot, so you just have to bear with me. I caught this the other day. I've actually known about this for months, but when I listened to myself back on podcast, I realized my filler word is saying so. So you're going to hear it, and you're going to be like, oh, now that you pointed it out, it's really annoying. Yeah, I know. It annoys me too, but whatever. We'll deal. So today's topics. I wanted to talk about some cognitive bias-related stuff, specifically in reference to a conversation my buddy and I were having about Ukraine, Russia, America, information, misinformation, real information, biolabs, all that stuff, talking about what's actually important. No, I don't really care about any of those things. I want to talk about the mindset behind them and how information moves. It's important. Next one. I want to talk about this idea that, we have this bad habit in the military community of calling ourselves war fighters. It's really annoying. It's like calling somebody your battle buddy. Your what? What's that? You're like, they're like gay porn? Your battle buddy? What is a battle buddy? No, we call ourselves war fighters, and yet we roll over and cry about everything. Like, oh, it's not fair. This sucks. And no, it's not fair. First of all, life's not fair. And you probably grew up in the United States of America. And you probably have some semblance of, a support base or a structure or a world that really doesn't let you collapse, especially in the military. You know, like, you are going to be taken care of kind of no matter what. It's been, other than the awful people, it's been a really like sheltered, safe, I say safe, well, sort of. We can play around with words there. Safe existence as far as your well-being when it comes to survival and having a roof over your head. And what we're finding out is, no, the world is not fair. Like, we're seeing that the Department of Defense, the government, everybody, breaking the law, breaking the rules. Like, oh, that's not fair. They can't do that. No, it's not fair. But let's stop crying about it, recognize it for what it is, and get to work. Don't call yourself a war fighter if you're not willing to go to war. No, I'm not talking about Ukraine. I am speaking specifically about this fight, the fight involving the COVID the vaccine mandate, and a lot of things that go into that. Next one, actually, we're going to hit this one second, is retention and recruiting. Holy cow, man. Wow, these numbers are bad. I've been posting about some of this stuff on Instagram today, taking your messages that are coming in and just putting them up there in raw form, because your messages are corroborating one another's. You guys don't know who each other are. You're just sending in messages and you're talking about stuff and you see a message and you're like, oh man, that's my situation too. I want to talk about that. I want to say something. Well, retention and recruiting are not the cheerful, joyous, nothing's wrong with the situation thing that the DOD is kind of trying to push off and tell everybody it is. And we have real actual numbers for FY21, and then actually got numbers for something today. I'll have to pull it up on my phone a little bit. Anyways, let's jump into this. Talk about Let's talk about the first thing I was talking about when it comes to information. So this is one of the things I've seen with Ukraine. We had this really obnoxious thing that popped up, and it was, what was it, The Awakened? People started calling themselves The Awakened. You know, you had woke people, like woke, they're woke about everything. We know what that is. We don't need to define what woke is. But then we had The Awakened. This is kind of like the opposite side of the spectrum. They're like people that were waking up and realizing, oh, I've been lied to my whole life. Oh, my teacher lied to me. This isn't really what happened. The Awakened, right? Well, not so much. None of us want to be stupid. None of us think we are stupid. We all think that we're smart people and everybody else is stupid. We're the ones who have it figured out. When you come to the realization that, no, it's not a matter of intelligence. And, you know, a lack of intelligence is thinking that you're intelligent and refusing to dig and look further. But specifically with this stuff with Ukraine, we have a lot of folks on the side of the fence that basically said the U.S. government has been lying to us for 2 years. Well, hate to break it to you, kiddos, but they've been lying to you a lot longer than that. Regardless, they've been lying to us for 2 years. And the origins of COVID, the vaccine, all these things like supply shortage and you name it. We're so distrusting of our government anymore. And they've earned that. They've definitely earned that. But when you see the stuff going on in Ukraine with these bio labs, there's a real mix of information that's stirring about what that is. So you have one side that says there are U.S.-funded biological and chemical labs that factually exist in Ukraine, okay? You have another side that says, no, that is nutter stuff. That is not a thing. There are not biological labs in Ukraine. And then you have another element, again, that says, well, we're not saying there aren't biological labs. What we're saying is that biological weapons are not being manufactured in these labs. But what did we do with global warming? I'm getting somewhere. Stick with me. When I throw things out of left field, just stick with me. All right. What did we do with global warming? We realized that was just absolutely stupid on its face. So we had to change the terminology to climate change because we know that climate change exists. We've seen it for thousands of years, tens of thousands of years. We have seen it for a very long period of time. Weather, climate, all these things changing over a significant period of time. What global warming was trying to say was that it was happening in a very short period of time, and that a lot of it was man-made. That somehow our influence on our environment was creating global warming. Well, they didn't have the science to back this up. They didn't. Find it, send it to me. There is so much cherry-picked garbage out there. Don't send it to me. I don't care. I don't want to see it. Global warming doesn't exist, but climate change does exist. So they changed the narrative so that you would get people who were still fighting against the global warming thing to say, no, climate change doesn't exist. And they're like, gotcha. Oh, it does. You're stupid. You're stupid. Look, climate change does exist. You're a climate denier. Well, they got you. They legitimately got you because you were dumb enough to fall for that. Climate change does exist. So let's go back to this Ukraine stuff. I personally, and I have members within my group who differ a bit, regardless, I personally have not come across anything that definitively, factually states or shows proof or even really locks in a couple of linking pieces to say that there are biological weapons being created. That does not mean that there are not biological labs. There are a lot of them, actually, and that is a fact. If you deny the fact that there are labs that conduct biological and chemical research within Ukraine that are funded by the Department of Defense, then you are stupid. That is a fact. You're that guy who says that climate change is not a thing. It's okay to say, you know, global warming is not a thing, or it is a thing, whatever else, you know, you have that battle all day long. But saying that climate change doesn't exist, well, that's stupid. It does. I mean, we know it does. This thing called the Ice Age. What I'm saying here is biological labs exist. If you say that they don't, you are stupid. But we can have the conversation about whether biological weapons are being manufactured, because I don't know. And here's the thing. I've looked at a lot of information. I've looked at the contracts. I've looked at stuff that the NIH has supported. A lot of different organizations that the NIH has given funding to. Go check out Rosemont Seneca, owned by Hunter Biden, and look at the work and the investments they were making in the area. There's a lot of stuff to kind of point to some shady stuff that's been going on. Connections between labs in Ukraine, the same labs in Wuhan, China, where we say that, you know, COVID originated from. The NIH's involvement, DITRA's involvement, you know, the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. I think I just burped on the microphone. I apologize for that. But anyways, so you have this stuff that spells out some weird stuff, you know, but we don't know what. Here's the thing. I have to be more responsible in a lot of what I do. I put out a lot of stuff. And a lot of times I get dinged for it. I get dinged for, hey, come on, chief. You know, that's garbage. That's already been debunked. That's whatever. Sometimes, you know, I see that it has been. Somebody sends me something like, oh, ooh, good find. You know, like, got it. That puts it in context. I see. But I'm not always throwing things out there. Not everything that I post is supposed to be some, like, bombshell, let's report the news. I'm a social media account. I'm not a reporter. I don't have to abide by journalistic integrity. I want to abide by journalistic integrity. And that is why the stories that I actually make, that I research on my own, that I put together, that I dig into, I put a lot of work into making sure that they are factually sound. Okay. Or if they are not 100% there, I state that we're still missing this and this. And I'm very careful not to slander somebody if they have not shown fact that they earned that slander. That's a big deal to me. But at the end of the day, I run a social media account, a lot of them actually, my own website, my own platform. But I'm very careful with this stuff. I haven't seen anything that says Ukraine has conducted weapons research with biologics and chemicals. That's just me though. And I'm finding more and more every day, but I need to tie this together very, very succinctly. And man, I apologize. I ate some M&Ms before I started doing this. That was a mistake. Those things are just like rolling around in my chest. And yes, I know anatomy. I know they're not really rolling around in my chest. Shut up. Okay. So the idea behind this is that there's a point to all this. And I told you before we started talking about this, I don't really care about the labs. What I care about is what's going on here in the United States. That's what I care about. What I care about is the fact that our DOD and our government have been caught lying and breaking the law. That we are held to a standard they are not held to. They can do whatever they want. And we have to play by their rules, regardless if Congress wrote that into law or not. That's an issue, right? That's a huge issue. So I'm less interested in convincing you of an idea than I am of getting you on my side and convincing you that whether you're on the left, the right, if you believe in God or you believe in Nirvana and you get there through whatever Buddha taught or Allah or whatever it is you believe in, if you're gay, straight, whatever the color of your skin is, I don't care. Point is, do you love America? And the oath you took to the Constitution, do you still adhere to that? Do you say, yes, Constitution of the United States, my oath I swore to that document is to protect it against all enemies. all enemies. If we can agree on that, then I don't need to convince you of all this stuff because you'll read it yourself. We can talk about it. We can have a conversation, but I don't have to convince you of that. So you have this awakened crowd that is suddenly awakened to the government lying to them, but they deny that this stuff is going on in Ukraine. Guess what? I don't need to convince them. And here's what I'm talking about. There's an idea. There's an idea that everybody who works in the community of thought is probably aware of. And in the intelligence world, especially, there's a word we call anchoring. Bet you know what I'm talking about right now. Anchoring. When you get anchored into that first piece of information that comes into your mind, you hold everything else, you know, everything else up to that piece of information to judge it by. Whether that information was good or not, it doesn't matter. Say you're a Breitbart guy. You know, you like to read Breitbart. You like to hit that stuff that's really conservative leaning. You'd never listen to that crap or read that crap on CNN, right? Well, something plops across your news screen. You don't even see what the source is. It just says this thing about this thing, and maybe it confirms your bias or it's whatever it is. Your mind might just grab it, and it just kind of locks onto it subconsciously. You don't even know why. What you've done is you've just anchored into that first piece of information that came into your brain. Everything that comes after it will be weighed against that piece of information. So it says this thing, even though it's CNN and you don't believe anything they say, you've locked into this because one bias overcame another bias. And so when you see any other information pertaining to that piece of information, that original piece of information, you hold it up to that construct of this is what it is. Does this fit this? Well, that's not what we should do in critical thinking, right? When we conduct critical thinking, we should be weighing all information against all other information. And then that information against a whole bunch of other stuff. But if you haven't really done that soul searching or digging within yourself to understand your biases, you probably haven't understood that or come to that realization before. So, you locked onto this thing, and even though your media of choice, Breitbart, denies that, you say, I don't know. That's Breitbart? Oh, man, are they right? Did they get it right this time? You didn't know anything about this topic. 30 minutes ago, it was nothing to you, but you locked onto this piece of information, you anchored in, and that's what I'm talking about with Ukraine. You locked onto this idea for whatever reason. There's a million reasons why we have biases. It doesn't even have to be the first information that came in. That's the anchoring concept. You might have locked on to this idea one way or the other. And we can get lost in the argument of, is it or is it not? Do they exist? Do they not exist? Are they conducting weapons? I don't care. I want you to be able to think, but I also want to focus on what I'm doing here. Here in my country, what is important? The Constitution of the United States, which is actively being shredded by the same people who took an oath to protect it. The Department of Defense officials sitting at the top are communists. Yes, I am saying this factually. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin serves communists. He does. If you look at all of the Biden administration's senior staff, they all have ties to the CCP. They are either communist themselves or they are serving and working for the CCP, the Chinese. Okay? That can be found easily. Don't have enough time to prove it to you? Go do your own research. Maybe some other time we'll talk about it. My point is, my Constitution is in their hands right now. Uh-uh. Guess what I won't do? As an American, I won't say, man, I really don't like my country. Man, I hate my service branch. I hate the army, whatever it is. No, guess what? This is my army. I earned my right to be here. My friends died in front of me. I am here. This is my army. I have not disbanded or thrown away my oath to the Constitution. I have not shaken on that. I will not shake on my love of country, my love for the flag. I will not apologize. This is my country. This is our country. That's why I say, if you adhere to the oath you took to defend the Constitution against all enemies, then you and I, let's talk. Let's be friends. Because this is war. So, not done with this idea yet. What are we trying to do here? Like, go somewhere with this. All right, I'm going somewhere with it. We have laws in place. No, they don't follow the laws. We've established that. But public perception is everything to them. They hate the laws. They hate these laws so much that when senators and representatives send them letters, like Senator Johnson has done to the DOD four times now, sent them letters to respond, Lloyd Austin just doesn't respond. Because he just doesn't care. You can't do anything to me. You have no power over me. Man, that's amazing. Like a senator, a senior senator, sends you a letter saying, I want some information. And instead of telling one of your dudes, you don't have to do it yourself. You tell one of your little lackeys underneath you to do this. You don't even do that. No, don't respond to him. We won't even give him the courtesy of a response because I can't be held accountable. I get to do whatever I want because the military as a whole has already shown that they will turn a blind eye. They don't have a backbone and no one is going to hold me accountable. My boss, the commander in chief, he's sure as hell not going to hold me accountable. All these little lackeys working in these offices underneath me, the secretaries of these different branches, they're not going to hold me accountable because they're just as bad as I am. But on the surface, they still have to pretend like they're following the law. Our entire system is built around these laws. So they have to at least pretend that they're following them, pretend that they're adhering to them. And that's where we get them. I don't care if you believe in what I believe in or not. I don't. Do you follow the oath that you took once upon a time when you raised your right hand and you took that oath to the Constitution? Do you still adhere to that? And if that is the case, well, help me hold them accountable. Let's make it. Sorry, I heard a noise. Let's make it so that they have to adhere to that law by ripping off the shades and shining the brightest light on them, exposing everything that they're doing. We can do that right here in the United States because they are breaking the law on every level. I want you to think about that. I want you to process it. That's something we're going to talk about for a while. Spend a long time on that. We need to move on, but there's a lot to unpack there. Go back through and listen. All right. Retention and recruiting. Oh man. Woo. Okay. So I've got actual data on this. Let me actually pop into my Instagram account. I've got it sitting right here. So check this out. These are the numbers from the active component. See, it says the data below represents the services cumulative monthly goals and accessions gains through the 6 month of FY 2021, March 2021. Give me a second. I feel like a dog who's been like eating peanut butter. Jeez, I need a drink. That was probably pretty gross. You probably got like a sound of like water in your ears. That's all right. You'll be all right. All right. So the numbers, like I said, through the 6 month of FY 2021, Army accessions, the goal was 27,412. They attained 24,851, which is 90.66% of the goal. And then Navy accessions was, the goal was 17,003, and they only got 16,279. So I don't necessarily believe these numbers either. However, it says that they're pretty far behind. And then the Army National Guard, Reserve, Navy Reserve, Marine Corps Reserve, I don't get the Marine Corps. They're like at 100% active and then like 109% in the reserve. Like, rah. Was that pretty good? No, probably not. Sorry. I'm not a Marine. Anyways, yeah, the numbers are really bad. Like National Guard, 80.55% of their goal. Reserve, 76%. I mean, whew. But I'm getting these messages like constantly. And I decided to start posting them today. And I'm going to be posting more. Talk about like these recruiters. We're dying here. We've had to cut our numbers down. One person told me they cut their numbers from 18 to 12. I'd have to read it again, but I'm assuming that means like 18 people in a year or something like that, down to 12. And they still can't meet quota. Like people don't want to join. And why? Is the vaccine that big of a deal to most people? I think it kind of is. But I also think that generally speaking, you see the corruption and the lawlessness that's going on. You can't put a top on that. You can't cover that up. It's getting exposed. No, the media is not doing their job. Journalists are not doing their job. Some of them are. But somehow the information is getting out there and people just kind of know. It's kind of just bleeding into the ethosphere. So I had one more bit of data that I put out as well. Below are the results through day 114 of 179 for FY22 through quarter three. It says straight line glide 63.7%. Sorry, guys. I'm not a math guy. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a straight line glide is. I'll just have to pretend I know what those words all mean and combine them and say that that's a straight line that glides. There you go. All right, so the regular Army, volume contracts. This is based on USAREX numbers. Let's just cut to the chase. All these numbers are in the negative. They are short of the glide by, 5th Brigade is 3,611. Regardless, USAREX in the regular Army is short of the glide by 14,010. They are at, 30% of their quota. So their quota is 54,465. They have recruited 20,687. That seems like a pretty really big deal. Like we're through quarter three. We're day 114 into 179. And we're at 38% for regular Army. Wow. Oof, somebody's sweating. Army Reserve, 41%. USAREC has got 4,930 of 12,014. Keep in mind as well, Army Reserves gets a lot of their folks, as far as my understanding goes, from the active Army. Dudes ETS and they get out and they go into the reserves. And so you got to think, if that wasn't a feeder, how bad would the reserves really be? These things are important, but people don't want to join. They're throwing out freaking massive amounts of money. Remember we talked about that? The 50,000 for 4 years and then the 20,000 for 2 years. That's a lot of money. Dudes, I didn't even get a bonus. And that was my own dumbass getting hosed by my recruiter when I came in, not knowing any better, not knowing that they just give you free money. I just wanted to join the Army. Dude, I got hosed. It still makes me bitter. 20 years later, and I'm like, you son of a... But anyways. So, hey, there it is. So, retention and recruiting. Big deal right now because people see what's going on and they're not having it. They see the lawlessness. I think there's a mix of a lot of things, but you can't tell me it's like people are failing to sign up because of tensions around the world. I don't buy it. When we felt like tensions were justified, I remember I actually signed up before 9/11. Yeah, where was me? I'm not patting myself on the back, but I will pat myself on the back. Why not? Because you're being a dick and pointing it out. Maybe that's just me making stuff up in my head again. No, you definitely did it. Anyways, I signed up before 9/11, but man, when those towers went down, dude, I was fired up for America. Bush got up there on the bullhorn. I was ready to go. People were jumping out of the woodworks to sign up for the Army, I remember. Most of the people I talked to when I was on active duty the first 2 years, I signed up because of 9/11. That's what they were saying. I signed up because of 9/11. So tensions around the world prevent recruiting, but these folks back in the GWAT days were signing up specifically for those reasons because they felt like America had been attacked by terrorists. Now you've got this rogue military industrial defense complex that's just running all over the place, starting up mayhem. They've got all their people in place. First of all, it was a mistake putting Mattis in as Secretary of Defense. I thought it was a good thing at the time. I was like, oh yeah, Mattis. I don't care what you think about Mattis. The point is he was a four-star general, and we have a waiver. We have a process in place for a reason. I think. You can't be Secretary of Defense or run for that or be nominated for that for like, oh shoot, it's like 5 or 10 years. I won't even guess. 5 or 10 years, something like that. Anyways, they waved him through because, yeah, he was Mattis. He was the icon. Chaos actual. Opposed to now, you know, we got man titties actual sitting in the Secretary of Defense seat, and that's just embarrassing. Anyways. That set a bad precedent because when the current Secretary of Defense was nominated for that position, he'd been groomed from the start. If you go back and you see this dude, like he was Biden's BFF. Man, you see these dudes all over the place. They were like linking up all over the war zone. All kinds of just, you know, buddy-buddy pictures taken and them traveling together and all kinds of stuff. I continue to say this, but the Secretary of Defense, who we have now, was never in, at least, okay, let me back up. As a general officer, so from one star to four star, he was never in a critical position that required him to lead. I'm not taking that back. I don't care where he sat. You can watch it. Anything he was in, he was always like, he was, during the invasion, he was the assistant division commander. The assistant commanding general, I guess, division commanding general, whatever. Anyways, as he moves up the chain, he's never in a position that requires him to be the guy. You know, who do we think of as the guy? Petraeus, Odierno, Mattis, these folks who are the guys. It doesn't even have to be a guy. You don't have to have a wiener. You can be a girl too, but you know, obviously, few and far between from having four-star generals in those positions. But when we think of these leaders, we're talking about the dudes we think of. Lloyd Austin was never that guy. And when Syria kicked off, because I know somebody's going to be like, oh, what about Syria? I remember that was a big deal. Okay, he got thrown into that on accident. As the CENTCOM commander, he was in the seat when, you know, all this stuff went on with Syria. You should watch that dude as he tries to answer Senator John McCain's questions. Holy crap, it's really funny actually. Go on YouTube and check out this mush mouth as he looks like a deer in the headlights who's, I don't know, just got his balls mashed in a vice or something, and he just does not know how to talk. It is embarrassing as you watch this four-star general try to answer John McCain's questions. Yeah. So, we have a retention and recruiting problem. People want out. They've had enough of it. Across the board, myself included. I don't care if, fill in the blank, I wouldn't stay in anyways. People are over it. You cannot convince them that the corruption, the lawlessness, and these fake-ass Americans that are sitting there with you know, oak leaves and birds and stars on their chest or their collars are the leaders that should have been or would have been if we were actually in a situation that required a military that had, you know, integrity, loyalty, honor, duty, all the things that we profess to inscribe within ourselves, it's just not a thing. Do we have a problem? All right. So there's something else I wanted to talk about. I've been talking about this. You know, I actually was asked to, ooh, there goes my phone. Yikes. I was actually asked to talk about this by somebody else, but I was going to talk about it at some point anyways, but why not just make the podcast a little bit longer and roll into this, because I want you guys to have some perspective. Okay. Got a lot of folks who are panicking. I know. Trust me, I know. Let me lay it out for you a bit. They threatened you with everything. Your livelihood, your securities, these things that were promised to you. Pension, healthcare, whatever the case may be, you know, you fill in the blank for whatever your thing is that's being threatened right now. I know it. It sucks. I'm not saying that I'm in this great position where I don't care about anything. I do care. I care in the sense that I have a family. I have kids, a wife. I've got to take care of my people. I know it. But a lot of folks are panicking and they're running with this, it's not fair thing. And how could they? And why is this happening? Is anybody else going through this too? What do we do? This is the worst. This is kind of why I'm addressing it. What do we do? I don't know, man. There's not one size fits all here. It's happening everywhere. Here's the first thing I want you to understand, and listen to me carefully. We're all in this together. There's a lot of us in this together. You are not alone. What do we do in warfare? What do? We divide and conquer. Because an isolated enemy force is easier to destroy than a force in mass. That is a fact of warfare. So, there goes the so again. Damn it. All right. What I'm trying to say to you is, you're not alone. I get these people who message me all the time and say, Chief, man, I'm so glad I found your page. I thought I was the only one going through this. Or I thought there was only a few of us. No, man, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of folks dealing with this stuff, and they don't want you to talk. They don't want you finding other people like yourselves. This is why, not for COVID, this is why I created Terminal X. I'm not even trying to pump my thing right now, even though I readily should be able to because it's my podcast, but I'm trying to be sincere here. I created Terminal X because I was sick of troops killing themselves because they didn't have somebody to reach out to. When we're in the service, I am in the service. I'm currently active duty. I am a chief warrant officer, and I've been in this force for 20 years. One of the things that we do to cope with the bad things that we see and go through is we use a lot of dark humor. And some of you dudes know more than others, we use some really heavy stuff. Like, get you deleted and kicked off of Instagram, Facebook, name the platform type of stuff. Created Terminal X so we could have a place for dudes to congregate and not get banned because you left your unit, you left your folks, and you said, like, I'm alone now. You didn't say that, but you felt that. I'm alone now. You can't go out into the regular world and share your dark humor. You're like, hey, Billy's working down a sales department. You're like, yeah, let me tell you this dead baby joke. Dude's looking at you like, you need to be locked up, man. You know, we communicate in a different way. And so I created the platform so we'd have a place to talk. Regardless whether you use that or not, what I'm telling you is, you're not alone. There's many of us out there. Find them. Think about it like this. How many people do we have on the planet now? Is it 8 billion, 9 billion? I don't know. Enough that Bill Gates wants to kill them, right? Anyways, we have a large amount of people living on planet Earth. Do you think like you're the only weirdo out there looking at feet getting off? I hope not. I hope that's not you. Don't be that guy. But you know what? I don't judge. Do your thing. Why not? Just keep it to yourself, okay? What I'm saying is if you think a thing, if you like a thing, there's probably somebody else who's in the same boat. It's no different than this situation. We are not alone. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Second is, I probably actually should have said this first, but I need you to understand this is warfare. We are in a fight. We are actively in the middle of a campaign right now. The enemy doesn't play fair. Stop pretending that they do. Stop thinking that they are suddenly going to play fair, that a white knight is going to show up and save everybody, that this senator, that this congressman, this whoever is going to be there to make this all go away. No, we have to grind. They are not going to give us this hill. This hill has a bunker sitting at the top of it, and they are peppering us with 50 cal, throwing grenades down the hill, and we have dudes that have to climb up that hill and take it. They have to seize that hill. We have all of these stories. We have all of these stories in our history about dudes charging the hill and taking it, seizing the hill, bodies dropping around them, getting blown up themselves, missing limbs, and they are still moving up that hill. You know, I love the story about how the Marines got their name, Devil Dogs. It's because when they were sloughing through that chemical, and they just these rabid creatures, they were unrelenting to get to the enemy. They were unrelenting. And they were named Devil Dogs by the enemy because of it. As they charged and fought and just relentlessly piled through to get to the enemy and kill them. That is what warfare is. Okay? Nobody is coming to save you. You have to take it. In this sense, you have to go through the processes necessary. You have to exert every legal means within your disposal. You have to put in the paperwork. You have to petition Congress. I'm going to side trail really quick here, and I'm going to talk about Congress. No. I don't personally think that one side is going to save another side or anything else. It's not left versus right or this senator or this representative. They're good or, but a scandal just came out. Look, people are people. I want you to understand people are people, okay? So these people have a lot of power. And what are they constantly being slapped with? Lobbyists who are throwing money in their face. And then, you know, senior representatives who are trying to keep them from doing such and such. And politics is hell. I wouldn't even presume to tell you that I would know how to do it or that I would be any good at it. Okay. It's an awful battlefield in the political world. I mean, just a bunch of backstabbing snakes. But do I think that there are people that are genuinely interested in the welfare of America beyond how they can use it to line their pockets? Yes, I do, simply based on statistics. Statistics tells me that somebody out there is good in fighting for the betterment of America. And I can weigh a lot of other things against it, you know, personal opportunities that were thrown away so that somebody could hold office or whatever. But we're not going to get into that. My point is, you have to approach Congress as many times as it takes. Sometimes it's not about getting Representative so-and-so to come to your aid. It's about putting information in Representative so-and-so's pocket that he can use against the other guy, because you want to give him ammo so that he can do his political job. We'll do that. That's kind of what I do. That's not kind of, that is what I do. I feed these guys with information. I feed the news with information, stuff that I see from my foxhole within the DOD. I feed them with information they can use. I don't get credit for it. I don't need credit for it. It doesn't need to come back to me. I am not so important that my existence or my well-being needs to be held up on a silver platter. It's not about me. It's about the fight. It's about making sure that we as a massing force can stay together. We can move the logistics of getting supplies and information into those combatant commanders' hands, and that we can continue to fight aggressively and keep fighting at the enemy. Who is, what are they doing? Let's state it. They are trying to subvert and take over our nation bit by bit. And the ones that aren't are just stupid and paid off. I think that's Lloyd Austin. I think he's just stupid and paid off. I really don't think he's that intelligent of a man. I think he's just a meat puppet who does what he's told. And he's made over $1.5 million off his Tenet Healthcare stock just from sticking the drug into troops' bodies, because that is what he's getting paid for. Sit there, be a good meat puppet, and do what you're told. Hey, we're telling you do this, you do that. He's an idiot. He's an absolute imbecile. Not worried about him. But there are others behind him that are a real threat. And he's a threat in the sense of he is sitting in the highest defense seat in the nation. And obviously his word is what's driving all of this to happen. But we need to petition Congress. We need to push this information into the hands of the judges who are making decisions. We need to get the stuff to the media. What does the media, you know, salivate over? Sensationalism. Give them sensationalism. Show them the facts. Yeah, they're not going to know you. Hey, chief, how do I get this? This one? They're not going to know you. Maybe they will. Maybe if you were at the, you know, at the center of something where you were important enough that Tucker Carlson, for instance, reached out and said, I want to talk to you, then maybe you'd be that person. I'm kind of there on the periphery. Every once in a while, I have information that a reporter will reach out on me. Hey, can you tell me more? You know, I've done a few interviews here and there, a couple of things. But my point is, you find somebody like me, you find one of the other pseudo, I don't know, somebody who's connected to that world a little bit, get them the information. Let me do my job. I'm actually pretty good at putting information together. I'm pretty good at sensationalizing stuff, maintaining the facts of the story, not exaggerating and not overblowing it, but sensationalizing it. There's a difference. Focusing on those points that people want to see and getting that information into the hands of Congress. This is warfare. Stop pretending it's not. Stop pretending that, you know, life is going to go back to normal and that this is all going to go away and somebody's just going to show up to turn it over. I'll tell you right now, I'm a God-fearing man. I don't make any bones about it. I might have a mouth on me, but I am a God-fearing man. I tell you, when that guy shows up, that guy that the whole world says, well, this is the one that's going to save it for us. This is the guy that's going to fix everything. Man, we've been waiting for somebody like this who's going to make it all better. Well, those of you who also are God-fearing people, you know who that guy is. Okay? So that's also not the guy you want to follow. What I'm saying to you is, there's only one savior. And that dude ascended a long time ago. The rest of us, we have to band together and we have to fight back. Because what's being done is illegal, unethical, all those good things, but it's evil. Above all else, it's evil. Recognize that. If you call yourself a war fighter, then act like it. Stop crying. Stop bitching and moaning and waiting for somebody to show up. They're not coming. It's us. Gather together your supplies and your resources. Get a head count and move out. All right. I think that's long enough for today. Went about 20 minutes longer than I kind of set a standard for myself. I would like to do this more often. I apologize when I can't. I know a lot of you come to my page to get some humor. It's our page. I want to explain something really quick. There's three warrant officers here. I am Danny. I'm the one who created the account. I'm the one who does the stories and everything else. Hefe and PB, those dudes are dope. I love them to death. But when I say my team, I'm not referring to them. I am referring to the folks that I corroborate, or I work with and connect with on other social media platforms, or not platforms, but accounts, researchers, people in my talking group that I have on different things where we share information. That's what I mean when I say my team. Okay. So, damn it. Is that word again? Dude, I need to go take a speech class or something. But yes, I would like to do this more often because I know a lot of you need, not necessarily the podcast, but you need this interaction to see that there are others out there doing this stuff. Don't make me your sole point of realizing that there is another element out there that thinks like you do. Don't let it rest on me. I could get snuffed tomorrow. I get snuffed today. And then what? You guys got to stand up, start taking initiative, and get after this thing, all right? There's a lot of people out there in the trenches doing what we do. Go find them. I can't connect you to everybody. But start getting serious about this stuff. If you're sick and tired of getting beat up and you feel like it's all unfair, then do something about it or shut your mouth. That's it. Guys, I will talk to you. When I talk to you, be safe. All right? Take care of your families above all else. If you're fighting with your spouse, fix it. Swallow your pride. I'm having to do it a lot. Okay? I know I'm wrong a lot. Swallow your pride, connect with, and make your families better. Spend time with your kids. Get off your devices. Get out of the TV. Spend time with your kids. Connect with them. Instill in them the values that you wish you saw in America today. Okay? Make our families the core of your work. Your priority should be your family first. And then let's get to the fight that we have together. We get after preserving this republic and our nation. Talk to you guys later.